Okay, so we were up to the sugyas of the Sim Shinayin Dal. We were discussing about who one is Miss Abel on. So we spoke about obviously the Krovim and where we last left off. And again, I apologize for missing on Thursday. It was a situation out of my control. But we were supposed to continue to discuss being Miss Abel on Gerim, and being Miss Abel on people that you're not really related to, people who are not actually your Krovim. So the Rambam writes in Parak Beis Lachim of Chzavel that a Gershon is Gayer, hu va'aviv, o hu v'imo, ein Miss Abelin ze al ze. That if a Ger is Megayer, if the whole family is Megayer together, a father and his children, mother and her children, then they're not Miss Abel because it's Katan Shnol Adami, so they're not considered related to each other. So the Beis Yosef quotes a Mordechai in Simon Tav Kuv Zayin, that a gerish and a skyer who v'imo, and then the mother died, and the re paskind that he should be misabel on her because avelus yom rishon daraisa, and v'choshi still masi lechlufe b'Yisrael. Meaning the chashash is that everyone's going to know this is the biological mother. It's a Jewish family now. They live like a regular Jewish family. So if you're not misabel, people are going to confuse that for a regular Jewish family. So the re paskind that you have to be misabel. It's not a suffix Daraisa, but like a gezeira on this din daraisa. Now the Ramah writes, we don't paskin avelus yom rishon daraisa. We paskin avelus yom rishon is only drabanon, and therefore there is no chiyuv to be misabel. Meaning ein achinami. If avelus were daraisa at all, so then the riz gezeira would make sense that you have to be misabel when a ger is megayer together with their parent, even though technically they're not related. You would have to be misabel, but since it's only drabanon, you don't have to be misabel. Rav Sternbach in Chubas van Hagos Chelik Aleph Simin Tuf Reish Pei Dalid paskins that you're allowed to be misabel, and we're not choshesh that people will think that they were native Jews and mess up the whole yichus because we don't make our own gzeiros. Meaning it's ironic that he says that in this context because the re sort of made up his own gzeira, meaning in the other direction. But if Shumbach says, we're not going to make a gzeira that you're not allowed to be misabel, lest people think that they're actually related and you're going to and that they're actually native Yisraelim and that they're not gerim, and then they're going to end up marrying a Kohen or whatever else, because people are going to think that it's a regular Jewish family. No, we don't make gzeiros like that. We'll assume that before anyone gets married, they'll figure this stuff out. So Gershon's Geyer, together with his parents, or together with their children, so even though they're not technically related, they're allowed to volunteer Avelus, but there is no Chiyuv Avelus, not even a Chiyuv Midrabanan. In the Chuvas Zekan Arun, Yerdeyasin Pezayin, he says, and what about saying Kaddish? Meaning this is the more, a very common question. A Ger wants to say Kaddish, or David as a Shlech Tzibur, for his parents who are not Jewish. Meaning, let's say it's not a case where the Ger is Megayer together with the whole family. More often, that's not what happens. More often, one member of the family decides to convert, and the parents are still not Jewish. So, but they're still close to the parents. They love the parents. Very often, one of the questions I ask at every Gerus meeting is, what does your family think about this? Meaning, are your parents like okay with this? So a lot of the times they say, you know, they're very supportive. They see that I have meaning in my life, and they see they're not willing to do it themselves, and not interested in doing it themselves. But they're happy that the child's going to say they have a close relationship with the child. They're supportive of the child. The child wants to observe, wants to say Kaddish for their neshama or whatever. So the Chubas Kanaron says it's a good idea, but you can't do it b'kviyos because it's tamua l'rabin. And he says, but you should do whatever you can, l'aliyas neshama. You say Tehillim and Chidush Sheitar, whatever you can, l'aliyas neshama. In Chubas Van Hagos Chelik Beisim Mem Gimel, Rosh Shumach says, yeah, you definitely say Kaddish. In Chubas Yechavadas, that's the famous Chuba, right? In Yechavadas, Chelik Vav, Simit Samach, he says that of course he would say Kaddish. He says, because aside from the fact that he brought you to Olam Hazeh, he also was Machnas Yul Olam Haba. Meaning, because but for your parents bringing you into this world, you never would have had the opportunity to become a Jew, and then you never would have had the opportunity to elevate your neshama to that point. So they're not only Machnas Yul Olam Hazeh, they're Machnas Yul Olam Haba. So you owe it to them to say Kaddish. Rav Avadia thinks it's a great idea for a ger to say Kaddish. And not only that, in Yalkut Yosef, he writes that you could say Kaddish for the neshama of a guy that, the righteous among the Gentiles during the Shoah, during the Holocaust, those who did good things for the Jewish people, you can say Kaddish for them as well. Ravadi discusses if it's a violation of the Sichanim or anything like that. He says, no, there's a relationship here. They provided you with something, so it's reasonable that you want to provide an aliyah for their neshama. There's actually a tshuva and tshuvas mimamakim about this. Tshuvas mimamakim, as you know, is Rav Ashri, who wrote up all the shahs and tshuvas that he got during the Holocaust itself, as they were going through the suffering in the Holocaust. So it's several volumes. So in Chelek Gimel, Simen Ches, he talks about a case of a nachris that saved 10 Jewish people in a cellar somewhere, and she put herself in danger to be able to save these Jewish people. And Rav Ashri paskins that they should say Kaddish, because Kaddish is a bakasha, it's a tefillah for the person, just like we find that in the days of the Rambam, when they added to the Kaddish, Ubechaye Maronon Moshe Ben Maimon. Meaning, what does that have to do with that? Because apparently it's a tefillah for whatever. So you can add things into the Kaddish. So Meichites, they shouldn't be allowed to say a tefillah for someone who did so much to be able to save Jewish people. So you're allowed to be Mevakesh for this Nachris, you know, that she should have good things happen to her in the Olam HaEmes, that they did such good things for the Yerushalmi Megillah, Gam Chavona Zachar L'Tov, right? We say that about Nachrim as well. There is a Sefer Chassidim that seems to imply otherwise. The Sefer Chassidim writes that a Geret Mevakesh Alav Velimo Lo Yoel Lo Hakil Midino. You can't really do anything to prevent their din in Gehenim from being any worse, but we assume generally not that way. So that's as far as Gerim are concerned. So again, with Gerim we discuss two things. If the whole family converts, so we said according to the Ri, if you hold on to the rights of the Shvi Chiyuv for the children to be Megayer, since the Ramah Paskins that Avelus Yom Rishon Drabanan, so you don't have a Chiyuv, but it's something that's a nice thing to do and it's encouraged, and we're not worried about Yichus issues. And then we spoke about a Ger who's Megayer independent of the parents. So we said that he can volunteer some level of Avelus, but more importantly, most of the posts can assume that he could say Kaddish for the parent, and that's not a problem. Now, he does not get precedence over another Avel in terms of taking the Amud, or in those communities where they have a minute and only one person says Kaddish, so he doesn't get precedence over other people, but overall he's allowed to say a Kaddish. Now, what about adopted children? So this comes up obviously all the time. So Rav Shechter writes about this in two places. In Nefesh HaRav, on page Resh Nun, he quotes the Gemara in Maseches Brachos Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis that Keshemes Tavi Avdo Kibul Avram Gamliel Tanchumin. The Gamliel's Mekabel Tanchumin when his Eved Tavi was died. Even though it wasn't one of the Zion Krovim. So, and Kabbalah's Tanchumin is a new Gavelus. So he was knowing Gavelus, someone who wasn't his relative, just someone that he felt very close to. So apparently, says Rav Shechter, you see from there, that there's such a concept called Kiyum Avelus, even by someone who's not a Karov, who's not one of the relatives of the Mace. And furthermore, the Rambam Perek Yud Gimel of Hilchos Avel Halacha Dalet writes that someone who dies and doesn't have any krovim to be misabel, that 10 people come and they sit shiva for that person. You have 10 people come and volunteer the shiva on behalf of that person, to the point that the Rambam writes the mekabel tanchumin alav. They have 10 random strangers, random people who are not even related to the nifter, come and sit shiva, and people are menachim them. So you see that there's such a din of nihukei avelus even when people are not really related to the person. And that's what Rav Shechter writes, the rugged of Paskin, when the Or Sameach died. The Or Sameach died tragically. There was no one to be misabel on the Or Sameach. He had a daughter, but she predeceased him. So there was no one to be misabel on the Or Sameach when he died. The other rub in the town in Dvinsk was the rugged shover, and the rugged shover Paskin that 10 people should come and be misabel on the Or Sameach. He thought it would be bizarreness if you don't have someone being misabel on the Or Sameach, so you're allowed to volunteer avelus. So you also see this, Rav Shechter says, from the fact that if someone is omer al adam kasher b'shas yitzias neshama, that if you happen to be there when there's a shas yitzias neshama by an adam kasher, that you tear kriya even if you're not a relative. Kriya is also l'chora in the Yugin Avelus. So apparently there is a kiyum avelus even by people who are not relatives. And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik Paskin, when it came to adopted children, that if they want to sit Shiva, it's going to be a kiyum of avelus. Because if there was no kiyum, then it would be a chuchavit lula to tell them to do avelus Shiva. Meaning, Rav Soloveitchik was very adamant about that, that we don't do things just for symbolic gestures. You know, we don't do... what's the word Shapter always uses? Ceremonies, right? We don't do ceremonies, no empty ceremonies. There's no, like, it's got to be some sort of kiyum. If it's not a kiyum, then it's worthless. So to just say, symbolic gesture, you'll say Shabbat. No way. It's either a kiyum or it's a zero. So it's got to be that it's a kiyum over here.
So someone is saying, should their adopted parents, do they have to keep all the DNA available? Meaning,
no.
They shower, do all that stuff.
Well, I mean, they probably should observe the dinim of avelus other than the kulas, meaning they still be chayiv in Talmud Torah. When that's what we paskin, I think we generally assume if they're really trying to be mechabed the parent by doing avelus, they shouldn't just do so. They should do all the dinim of avelus, but not the kulas. So when in between visitors, they should learn. You know, they shouldn't be part from Talmud Torah. I just had this shayla. Oh, I had two shayla. Well, I had the shayla with Rabbi Leibowitz asked about a guy whose father was not Jewish, and he wanted to sit shiva for him. So that was not, you know, so he's saying, you know, he fake a shiva. But no, I had a different shayla. A rabbi just called me on Erev Shabbos that there was a guy, a chassan, getting married, and this guy lost his mother at a very young age. His mother died when he was very young, and his father just totally punted on raising him, just totally, you know, abandoned all responsibilities, monetary responsibilities, everything else. So his maternal grandparents raised him, and now the guy's getting married, and he does not want his father walking him down the aisle. He doesn't want his father standing under his chuppah. Father is invited to come to the wedding, but he has his relationship with his father is, you know, to call it strained would be you know, a compliment. You know, it's not great. So the shaila is he allowed to do that? Is he allowed to say, you know, no thanks, Dad, but my grandparents are the ones that were there for me, and they're the ones that are going to walk me down the aisle? So it's a shaila in tutzdanim. So first of all, does he have a chiyuv kibud avim to the grandparents, and does he have a chiyuv kibud avim to the father? So technically speaking, when it comes to adopted parents, which the grandparents are, there's no kibud avim per se, even though kol magadul yasam yisom v'soch besos kibud yilado. But it's not, so it generates a chiyuv of hakaras hatov to a great degree, which is one of the reasons for kibud avim, Sefer HaChinuch writes, but it's not like technically the mitzvah of kibud avim. Whereas by the father, you have the technical element of kibud avim that does apply. So it's very tricky in these kinds of situations. You always have to figure out how strained is the relationship, how damaging it's going to be for the guy himself, I mean, how traumatic it's going to be for him. If it's going to shatter his whole wedding and he's not going to be able to be happy at his wedding, you know, so that's something that's kibbutz avos mishalav, lo mishal ben. And if it's going to ruin his own, you know, mental health and his own ability to enjoy his own wedding, so Rav Shechter said in similar circumstances, then you wouldn't have the chiyuv kibbutz. In a situation once, I'm not going to get into it right now, but there was, you know, that in similar circumstances where he said that there's no chiyuv kibbutz. Some people don't like to be happy at their weddings anyway. They just like to be really intense and chuckle a lot, you know. So, but you know, for people who like to smile at their weddings, they should be able to. My son Zacharia told me that at Rashi Berkowitz's house on Friday night, you know, they in Eretz Yisrael they go to the Rebbeim, and then after you go to your own Rebbe, you know, for an oneg on Friday night, you can go to any of the other Rebbeim on Yeshiva Lane. So after he went to his Rebbe, he went to Rav Tzvi. So I said, "No, tell me something good that Rav Tzvi." He said, "Rav Tzvi is a guy Nadi. I don't know if you know, but Rav Tzvi Berkowitz is a big person. So, but he's like, not but he's also like very blunt, direct, no emotion. You know, like." You know, like very I said, "No, what did Tzvi say?" He said, "A guy." He said, "There was a lot of stuff in sugyas that they were learning, so it was whatever." But that, you know, boring. You know, so he said that a guy said, that shouldn't chasanim be happy under the chuppah? Like, why is everyone always just chuckling and getting all tense under the chuppah? You know, you're marrying the girl that you want to spend the rest of your life with. You should be happy. So I said, what was she saying? So she said, is that a statement? You have a question? You can ask a question. You're just gonna say your shittas, you know. You have to go to Tzitzit to say all your shittas in life. Okay, but I happen to hold that's a good shita, whoever the guy is. Okay, the other place where Shechter writes about this, about adopted children, is in Ve'ikvei Atzon, at the very end, not very close to the end of Ve'ikvei Atzon, Simon Lamed Ches, in footnote 3, in the article about Dinim Avavelos, so he writes that even though it's Malal of Kasuv Kili Yulada when you raise someone else's child, but Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva Narachayim Sim Kuf Samach Dalet based on the Gemara at the end of Sota that there's no Chiyuv of Kibarat. How do we know that in the Gemara at the end of Sota? Because the Gemara at the end of Sota tells us that one of the Amoraim was raised by his maternal grandparents, and the maternal grandfather says, hey, can you get me a cup of water? And he says, I'm not your son, I'm going to have to get you a cup of water. So it's a troubling Gemara, but what emerges from that Gemara is that there is no technical Chiyuv of Kibarat. So Mela Luchora, there's no chiyuv of avelus minadin on the child when the person who raised him, when his adoptive parent dies. However, based on the Ramah here in Shinai and Dalet Sivav, quotes from Chuvas Harash, that if someone wants to be machmir alatzmo, to be misablon, someone that you're not chayif misablon, that ein mochin biyado. So who I did over here? That you see that I'll call padim. There's a chiyuv of avelus on somebody else, even though there's no chiyuv, even though you're not a technical relative. So therefore, Rav Shechter writes, min hanachon u min ha-ra'oi, the right thing to do is to be noeg the inyanim of Shiva when the adoptive parent dies. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik held based on the Rambam that we just said before as well. However, Rav Shechter adds in this piece, meaning the whole idea of being noeg avelus for an adoptive parent is b'toras eino mitzvah b'yosef, meaning it's a volunteer, you're volunteering this mitzvah. It's only shayich to volunteer the mitzvah in Shiva and Shloshim. But Yud Beis Chodesh, it's not shayich to volunteer, because Yud Beis Chodesh is purely an element of kibbut ave'im, and therefore you don't volunteer the avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh. And he points out further that it wouldn't even make sense to volunteer Yud Beis Chodesh because of the fundamental nature of Yud Beis Chodesh. He says there's a fundamental difference between the Ofi HaAvelus of Shiva and Shloshim and the Ofi HaAvelus of Yud Beis Chodesh, the very nature of the Avelus. By Shiva and Shloshim, there are Kiyume Avelus, there are Nihuge Avelus. Yud Beis Chodesh, there are only Isure Avelus. The idea of Eino Mitzvah V'yosa only makes sense by mitzvos, by positive things, by Nihugim, by Kiyumim. Eino Mitzvah V'yosa doesn't make sense by Isurim. Rav Shach always gives the example. If I'm going to say, you know what, I'm not going to go into a cemetery from now on. Why not? You're not a Kohen. Yeah, I know I'm not a Kohen, but I'm volunteering the Isser of Tumas Kohanim. No, it's ridiculous. I'm volunteering an Isser of Tumas Kohanim. You can't volunteer an Isser. Einam Tzuvios is only on Aseis, not on Lavin. This is what the Maral Miprag writes in the Gur Aryeh in Parshas Vayigash. And this is how Rosh Hashanah Moitzah tells us in Nida, Samachal Vambez is Mechalik between Klayim on the one hand and Tzitzis on the other hand in terms of Mesim, when we dress a Mace in Tachrichin. So perhaps a distinction whether you have to remove his Tzitzis or remove Klayim, that there's a difference between a Lo Saseh and a Mitzvah Saseh. So this also relates to Chinuch, right? That it could be that the Mitzvah of Chinuch is a different mitzvah, klape mitzvah saseh versus mitzvah lo saseh. I mean, what exactly is the mitzvah of chinuch when you train children to do mitzvahs? So one could argue, and there are a lot of good sources for this. I heard about this somewhere. I think my second sefer maybe about chinuch and brachos, that there are two dinim in chinuch. That there's a din in uh, just knowing how to behave like a Jew. Like you can't just spring it on someone at the age of 13. Now do everything. You know, he has no training to do anything. Now do everything. So he has to get used to the habits. He has to habituate himself to behave like a Jew. But there's another din chinuch, is that as a katan, he's doing things as an ein mitzvah v'yosa. He's being mekayim the mitzvahs as an ein mitzvah v'yosa. So there's a chiyuv on the father to encourage the child to volunteer mitzvahs as an ein mitzvah v'yosa. So din number one of chinuch applies even to lo saseis, right? Din number two of chinuch would only apply to mitzvahs asay, would not apply to lo saseis. And there could be kamen nafkaminos, ayin sham. And that's why Yud Beis Chodesh, which is purely din kibra v'ein, and so it doesn't apply to an adopted child. And, I mean, it's not hakar, so purely din kibra v'ein. And it's all lo saseis, it's all isurim, it's not shaykh to volunteer. So that's how Rav Shechter writes. Now the idea that Yud Beis Chodesh is purely din kibra v'ein comes up in other contexts also. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva about a woman wanting to know, during her Yud Beis Chodesh, her husband was being honored at a dinner. So is she allowed to go to the dinner during her year of avelus? So Rav Moshe says, yeah, because a woman in general, even when the parent is alive, the kavod of the husband comes before kibud aveim. So since it's purely a din kibud aveim, the Holy Beis Chodesh is only din kibud aveim, so the husband's needs come before the kibud aveim. So that's where Moshe held that she should go to the dinner. Okay, that's as far as relatives who, as far as adopted children. I saw that Rabbi Skatchelis also talks about this. He quotes the same Chassam Sofer, the same Sota Daf Memtes, and then he quotes Halicha Shlomo. That Shlomo Zalman Orbach said that a ben mu'umatz is mutter to be noeg avelus and to be makabel tanchumin throughout the Shiva. And he quotes in Nishmas Avram that he heard from Shlomo Zalman that you should be knowing the full avelus as if they were your regular parents, and say Kaddish, but not on the cheshbon of other avelim. So he quotes again, pretty much no surprises there, right? No surprises there. Discussions, just you know, puts together the basic shittos in the poskim. Okay. Next issue is, what about krovei krovav? What if it's not your direct relative that died, but it's someone's relative's relative that died? So I just got the shaila today. Rabbi Max Schreier passed away last week. So one of the Schreier grandchildren said, am I allowed to go to my friend's bar tonight? My father's still sitting shiva with my grandfather. So am I allowed to go to my friend's bar to say mazel tov? Right? So that is the issue of krovei krovav. So Rabbi Akiva is quoting the Gemara that you have to be misabel on shniyim as well. Shmuel ben Elazar says that you're misabel al ben beno and avi aviv. And the Chum hold that you're chayiv to be misabel together with anyone that... That you would be misabel on when it's befanav. Like we find by Ishto Avela that you know heg Avelus bifaneha, that if your wife is an Avela and she's being knowing Avelus on her parents, so bifaneha you're knowing Avelus as well. So the Rush in Simon Lamed Hay says that you only chayv to be misabel with your wife on your father-in-law and mother-in-law, and a wife with a husband on her father-in-law and mother-in-law, and not in shar krovim, meaning if a wife loses a sibling or a child or something like that, so then you're not misabel together with her. But the Rush writes, but the whole idea is only l'kavod ishto, and therefore she's able to be mochal on that kavod. And the Rush says, and nowadays everyone's mochal on that kavod, meaning since the whole idea of being misabel krovi krovav is only l'chabed the karov, it's to be mechabed the karov, and the karov doesn't want that kibud, they're not interested in that kibud, it doesn't help them. So they're mochal the kavod. Karman Sanal quotes the Ramah that anyone's machir b'zeh zeinu ala min ha-matmim, that to be machmir, to be knowing a full blown avelus for krovei krovav, it's inu ala min ha-matmim, it's a strange thing to do. The Aruch HaShulchan goes a step further and he says, not only that, if the Avel says, I'm not mochel, and I want you to be knowing avelus, based on the Dina de Gemara, lav kol kminei de kvarnis batel minagzeh. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, no one is allowed to say such a thing, the minag is already batel, we don't do it anymore. But then the Rama writes that we're knowing that all the krovei ames that are pasul eidus are marin ktsas avelus ba'atzman through the first week of Shiva, at least until after the first Shabbos, that they shouldn't bathe and they don't change their clothing so much, and at least until the first Shabbos, which is a fascinating thing, because the first Shabbos could be all the way at the end of the Avelus, or it could be one day into the Avelus. But at least that week, while it's still the week of, there should be no Ktsas Avelus. So Taz writes, and therefore they shouldn't be Nichnas into a Seuda, or Lachuf Rosham, they shouldn't, meaning in that first week, meaning if the Shaila came from the Shrier grandchild last week, says the Rama, that it would be the Taz, Taz's explanation, that the answer should have been no, can't be Nichnas into a Seuda. But since it's coming after Shabbos, so then it's Mutter. So the Shach quotes a Masas Binyamin, that Dafka Psulim Le'edus, they chayiv min adin to be misabel. You have to be knowing this, but by sharp suleidus we wouldn't be machmir birchitzas cham and chafifas rosh and chiluf begadim. We would be more makel. So in Yalkut Yosef he writes, we don't do any of this. And all of it is not done, and it's just not knowing at all. The Aruch HaShulchan writes hechad v'nog nog hechad v'lo nog lo nog. Kimedina in kanshul ikr. He says that none of this is minhadin, so you really just follow what the minhagim are. In Rabbi Skatchel's quotes a Chuvus Bitzela Chachma, Rabbi Tzal Stern, Chel Gimel Sum Kuv Zayin, Shekol Yomai Gidalti Ben Chacham Gedolim, Chikre Lev, Me Olam Lo Reisi Velo Shamati, Shekrov Psuleidus Yinagu Afilu Ktsas Avelus, Chutz Me Akrovim Shechayav Mlesabel Aleim Avelus Kamuna. That he says, as far as in Hungary, where he grew up, the Rabbi Sal Stern in Debrecen, he says, I've never seen such a thing, that anyone would be knowing any Avelus unless they are one of the Zion Krovim. My impression is that the minhag is that people ask the Shaila, and then they're told that it's okay. Meaning it's not like totally forgotten to the point that people don't even ask the Shaila. People typically ask the Shaila, and then you answer and say, it's okay. If you really want to go, it's fine. So that seems to be the general practice. Okay. So next. So now we discussed gerim, adopted children, and krove krovav. So moving right along, tinok shemes. What if a Rachman al son, a baby dies? So the Gemara and Daf Chavdalim base tells us that if a baby under the age of 30 days. Dies, yetze b'chik v'nikbar b'isha achas v'shnei anashim, and there's a machlokas whether it could be nikbar even with shnei anashim and isha achad, and the Gemara says, enom d'lov b'shura, you don't do the shura by the burial, enom d'lov b'rchus avelim, v'tanchume avelim, but I mean, it sounds like you don't have all the normal, the normal levaya. Ben lamid yom, yotze b'duluskma hanitelis b'akpayim, a much more normal levaya. Ben yud beis chodesh yotzi b'mita. When it's ben yud beis chodesh, normal hearse, everything you get yotzi b'mita. Hearse, I shouldn't say, is normal. I mean, that wasn't obviously a thing back then. It was I think it was Shlomo Kluger as a tshuva, where when they started bringing Mason by horse and wagon to the cemetery, he went nuts. Like, this is against the minute. We never did this. This was all. They've been limousines and no one bats an eye. Like, it's we don't view that as against the minhag. But anyway, so the Rush in Simon Peches in Third Parak Amay Katan quotes of its Gaius that when we say Kol Lamid Yom Yotzei B'chik, that's the Lokim Le Begavei De Kol Chadashav. Meaning you're not sure if he was a full term baby, but if you know that he was a full term baby. That he was carried to term. So then, hareo kichasun shalit. Then he's just a regular baby. I mean, if a baby was full term and fully developed, and nebuch something happens, a car accident or something, something like that. So then it's a regular levaya. And that's really a gemara mufresh that says what, that way. Then if it's kimlan the kol chadasha. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Ches over here, Paskins like the Rambam, right? If you look in Ayin Dalin, Shulchan Aruch writes, Shulchan Aruch writes, Tino kol shloshim yom, v'yom shloshim b'chlal, ein mis'ablim alav. Afilu gamal sarav v'tziparnav v'misham ve'elach mis'abel alav. That for the first 30 days there's no avelos, after 30 days there is. Ela im kein noda shu ben ches, v'ikim le beish akalo chadashim, gon shebal upirish, v'nolad chay l'tes chadashim gemurim, afilu meis b'yom shenolad mis'ablim alav. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, but if you're sure that it's called lo chadash, that he had a full 9 month pregnancy, then you'd be misabel even if he dies within 30 days. How could you ever be sure? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, the way to be sure is that you only had tashmish with your wife once, and then you were poresh, so you know that it was 9 months after the tashmish. Otherwise, you can't know when the pregnancy started exactly. You don't know exactly when she was ovulating when the pregnancy started, so you can't be sure that it was called lo chadash. Yeah. So the Pischei Tshuva in Sivkat Chais quotes a Chassam Sofer about a Tinok that died b'yom lamed aleph l'leidaso, but it was not yet the Sha'a Shenolad Ba, meaning he didn't have a full 30 days. He didn't hit, meaning he was born at 5 p.m. So on day 31, counting the day that he was born, meaning what we would call 30 days later, he died at 3 p.m., let's say. So he didn't survive for a full 30 days. And there were those that said not to be misabel, because there's a machlokas in Tosas and Arach and Daflam and Aleph, whether you count Misha L'Sha'a. And even though we don't paskin that you count Misha L'Sha'a, L'Gabe Avelus, we could say Alach Gdir Vemekel Ba'Avel. So since it's a Shailin Avelus, so you could be Mekel, Alach Gdir Vemekel Ba'Avel. In Shuvas Rav Pa'alim, in Chelek Aleph Yerodeya Simon Nun, he says that you need Lamid Yom Shleim and Me'es La'es, and that's what Rav Vadi assumes as well. So Chassam Sofer says, no. Halacha Kedivrei Mekel Ba'avel is only a machlokas that's nogeya only for Avelos. It's an interesting assumption. He says, when you have a machlokas that's nogeya other areas of Halacha, and it just also happens to be Shaykh to Avelos, then you don't say Halacha Kedivrei Mekel Ba'avel. Because what are you going to say? That this baby is not a Bar Kayama Legabe Hilchas Avelos, but is a Bar Kayama Legabe other halachos. So he says, this is a fundamental machlokas about the status of this baby. It's just that there happens to be enough kamina for avelus. But when it comes to everything else, we paskin that we don't count sha'os, even though that will turn out to be a chumra in hilchos avelus. We don't go lukula. Because otherwise, when it comes to pidyon b'char, we would also say that meis b'yom lamed al kodem zman leidaso. We say halacha k'divrei mekel as far as mamon for the nitva, and the father would be pater from pidyon aben. And we don't say that way. So ela al karchach, since it's not about a dine mamonis issue, we don't paskin l'kula. Meaning by the dine mamonis, you'd also paskin l'kula because you'd say matzmeh chaver olav araya. But fundamentally, it's not a dine mamonis shayla. Fundamentally, it's not a vela shayla. Fundamentally, it's a status of the person shayla. So it just happens to have implications for dine mamonis. That's the Chassam Sofer. Interesting ha'ara of the Chassam Sofer. The hafla'a in the end of the first part of the Ksuba says the same. Like the Chassam Sofer, Rav Shachter pointed out, that same yesod appears in the Sefer HaKsav HaKabbal in the name of Rabbi Kiva Eger. I was never able to find that HaKsav HaKabbal, but that's Rav Shachter thought that was a yesod that's out there. This might relate to the Rabbi Kiva Eger in Hilchos Shechita. There's Rabbi Kiva Eger in Hilchos Shechita in Siman Yud Dalid. About a suffix d'araisa that's nisgalgal to a suffix d'rabbanan. Meaning you have a suffix on an inyan, and it has d'araisa ramifications and d'rabbanan ramifications. So do you say suffix d'rabbanan l'kula on the rabbanan ramifications of that suffix, or do you say, no, this fundamentally is a suffix d'araisa, and therefore, since we're going to be machmir on the d'araisa ramifications of this, we have to be machmir all the way through. It's not so pasha to relate it to this case, because Rav Shachter pointed out that the Rav said that that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik used to paskin halachik d'rei mekel ba'avel even b'makom tarti desasri. That even when it's going to turn out to be a tarti desasri, meaning you're going to say there's a chiv pidin aben, but no chiv avelos. So the same child, it's either ben shloshim or not a ben shloshim. That Ramesh Soloveitchik held, you say Halacha Kedivrei Mekel Ba'avel even if it's going to turn out to be an inconsistent psak. So Shachter thought we don't hold like Ramesh Soloveitchik about that. He thought that that was not that's not the the standard psak. Okay, we should never know from such things. There are shailas though that come up. Unfortunately, a lot of times, usually it's not a kalul chadasha issue. It's like a preemie, right? A premature baby, and then the baby lives for more than 30 days. But the whole time that the baby's living, the baby's life is hanging by a thread, and he's in an incubator in the NICU. You know, and you have these difficult situations. So Rav Vadia discusses, Rav Yitzchak Yosef discusses in the Alkut Yosef that I just got in trouble because I gave that shir about Rav Shachter poskim of Pesachim shir from Rav Shachter. I mentioned how Rav Shachter said that Rabbi Lam offered him once to go take a sabbatical and get shimush and psak from Rav Vadia. And Rav Shachter said, I shouldn't get shimush and psak from Rav Vadia. Rav Vadia should get shimush and psak from me. I have such rich traditions from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Vadia knows everything, and he puts everything together, and he collates everything, and he puts it beautiful, but there's no direct tradition in psak that he had. So as far as shimush and psak halacha, he should get shimush from me. So I mentioned that story because I thought it was, it demonstrates Rav Shachter's commitment to the traditions and the mesorah that he has from Rav Soloveitchik, but not every Sephardic person took it that way. They thought that was like shots fired, in the word of one Sephardic Talmud Chacham. I'm tired of these microaggressions against Rav Avadia. That's not what it was meant as, I don't think. I think it was just Rav Shachter's attachment to the Brisket traditions from Rav Soloveitchik. Anyway, so in Yalkut Yosef, he says, what if you have a baby that's born in the 6th month of pregnancy, and the baby spends months in an incubator and then dies? So he says, hey, Misabna Lalav, I lived more than a month. So he says, hey, Misabna Lalav, he never really lived. I mean, he was being kept alive for more than a month. And he quotes a Shevet HaLevi, Chevet Gimel, Sim Kupnam Gimel, the Paskin, similarly. Tzitz Eliezer, Chevet Tes, Sim Chav Ches, Os Ches, writes that that would be like a baby that gets sick within 30 days with a choli mesukan, and they give him all sorts of medication and treatments, and then he dies after 30 days. So he says, well, it's not a Nefel, he should be Mesabel. So Yalkut Yosef quotes from the Sefer Torah Yoledes in the name of Rav Eliashib. Torah Yoledes was written by Rav Zilberstein. It was Rav Zilberstein's first Sefer. Before he started writing all those funny Sfarim, he wrote like the classic Sefer on pregnancy and childbirth. And then he got involved in writing all the funny shailas and the interesting, the stuff that made him really popular, that made him, explode onto the scene, so to speak. But in his first sefer was Torah Hayoledes. So he says, we view an incubator, Rav Eliashiv held, we view an incubator not as a continuation of the pregnancy, even though that's what its function is. Right, it's meant to function as to mimic the pregnancy. So that means pregnancy ended too early, so we're trying to extend the pregnancy. But that's not how we view it. We view it as a refuah, and therefore, if the child actually survives 30 days, that you're chayiv navelos. And so this is a fundamental machlokas haposkim. So a lot of times I'll say alach v'divrei mekel b'avel, these kinds of shaylas. That since it's fundamental machlokas haposkim, so a lot of times they'll be mekel. I never asked Rav Shachter or Rav Willick this. I don't know.
Mekel
to sit
or not to sit?
Not to sit. Not to sit. You would imagine that it would be a very, very difficult shiva for a parent to go through on a baby that's, what do you say? What do you even talk about? Meaning, normally the whole comforting part of the shiva is that you're talking about the impact that the person had and the, what do you talk about? Generally speaking, when it comes to very young children where people have to sit shiva, what they talk about is all the tefillos that the child's illness prompted, and therefore they did bring so much good into the world, all the mitzvahs that people did in their zuchus or whatever. But it's a very, very, very difficult thing to go through a shiva, something like that, and that kind of situation. I never asked our rebbeim about it, though. We should probably find out what they would say. Then there are all these shaylas, you don't know who the father is, and we don't have to get into that right now. There is a Ramban, next up. There is a Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, on page Kuf Mem Dalit, who derives from Yerushalmi, the third parak of Brachos, that you know, kol dinei aninos al rabo shalim do chachma, that if a person's rebbe dies, they know kol dinei aninos. So Beis Yosef writes, but mevarich u'mezamein, because you can't pater someone from Brachos and from Zimun without a clear raya. The Ramban quotes the Gemara Moed Kadam Daf Chafei, the Yishvi Mis'abel Yom Echad, and the Beis Yosef says, yeah, but Mikzas HaYom is enough. So if you have Rabbi Shlomo Do Chachma, if you have such a din of a Rebbe Mufak, so you could be no Egavelus for Mikzas HaYom, but you wouldn't have all the Kulas of Aninus. There's also, the Beis Yosef also quotes a Kolbo, that Minuk Shepashat Shalolis Abel Al Ben Rishon Shemes, that there is some sort of minog not to be misabel on a bechor that dies. Ben Rishon Shemes, v'afil lo yeh bechor. The first child that dies, even if it's not a bechor, he says, minog ta'uzu ki lo nimsa minog rak bebechoros, shem kamo she'enam minog avos v'shem kadoshu l'shem yisparach. Ad kan l'shon hakolbo. So Beis Yosef says, there is a minog that people don't aren't misabel on their first child to die. Now, that's the whole thing sounds so strange to us. A child dying, it's like a horrible tragedy that happens once in a while to rarely in families. First child die? How many families have multiple children that die? Lo aleinu. But that was like very common. You know, like 100 years ago, that was very common. Before vaccines, before, you know, that was extremely common. Women would typically have, whatever, 9 pregnancies, and they'd have 4 surviving children. You know, that's the way typical family went. So when the first child dies, even if it's not a bechor, that minhag not being misabel is a minhag toos, because the real minhag is only on a bechor that dies, because the bechor is kadosh to Hashem. That's what the Kolbo says. Now, it says in Beis Yosef, that which the Kolbo takes as like the real minhag, not to be misabel on a bechor, he says, dvar temahu. He says, and then he says, I found a rivash that criticizes this minhag. Because of a minhag zeh in lo shachar ve'in lo davar zeh shorish ve'ikir amru misha amaro ad kan va'anu lo re'inu v'lo shamanu misha na'akein. So the Beis Yosef comes out fighting. He does not like this minhag at all. That the Kolbo is coming to criticize the minhag even on non-bechor, but through doing that he accepted the minhag about not being misabel on a bechor. So the Beis Yosef said, no, it's all wrong. So Darkei Moshe Nosvav writes yesh no'agin that the father and mother are not holich achar b'nei marishon shemes to the Beis HaKvaros. And he says, and taka, that's our minug here in Krakow. And he says, probably that minug comes from the Kolbo that the Beis Yosef quotes. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, ubevadeim yesh chashash pachad b'zavi kibkoch nefesh, v'chein yorli dekol chola avshein b'sakonim, and v'el tzigum t'sev scholi yinul l'sadel. Aruch HaShulchan says, probably this is based on the psychology. Meaning, if you're dealing with a situation where a person is going to be so distraught that they're going to have a panic attack, or they're going to have it's going to be bad for their health, or they could have a heart attack, or they, you know, the grief is going to overtake them, and they're going to be, you know, that's probably what this is based on. So then, obviously, that's docho all of avelos, you know, pikuach nefesh, or whatever concerns you have for the health is going to be docho all of avelos. This comes up most often when you have very elderly people, that someone dies. I think there's a story of the Lubavitcher Rebbe like this. I'm right about this, right? The Lubavitcher Rebbe's brother had died, and he didn't tell his mother. And he was like, he wrote letters from his brother and would deliver them to his mother. You know, like mamish, like he really, as if his brother was writing letters to his mother after his brother had died, because he thought it would be too dangerous for his mother to find out. I got that right? Is there more details?
I read in two of the
many
books.
Yeah, so that was so that's done every once in a while. You have to be careful with that though, because sometimes the person will find out and then they'll be even more upset. Meaning, it could have been done maybe in the 50s when the Rebbe was doing this. Nowadays, it's very, very hard to keep things a secret. I remember at the beginning of COVID, my cousin Rav Leibel Katz passed away from COVID. He was a big posek in Borough Park, a very big Talmud Chacham. I wrote several svarim called the Ohel Aryeh. So my grandfather, Zichron Levracha, who just passed away recently, was very close with Rav Leibel. He loved him. He was his nephew, and he really, really loved him. And my parents didn't want to tell my grandfather that Rav Leibel passed away. So, because my grandfather was already in his 90s, and he was somewhat frail, and they didn't want to, they thought it would be too upsetting to him, and he already, it was during COVID, he couldn't, my grandfather couldn't, you know, he was a 90-something-year-old guy during COVID, so there couldn't even be their people couldn't even be there to, like, sort of break it to him slowly, and to, like, you know, make sure he's okay, or whatever, it just would have been him alone in his apartment with his aide, and someone saying, oh, by the way, your favorite nephew just died of COVID, you know, like, it would have been too much for him. Then they realized my grandfather subscribes to Mishpacha, and Rav Leibel Katz is a Chashev Rav, and the Mishpacha was going to come, so they had to intercept, the Mishpacha. Like, even for a 90-something-year-old who's not on Twitter, you know, like, it's still very, very hard to keep things from people nowadays. So in general, even though that used to be the classic advice, is just don't tell them. I think we're shifting on that because it's just really hard to do that, to just not tell people. Anyway, okay, so let's move on to Siman Shin Ayin Hei in the few minutes that we still have left. So Siman Shin Ayin Hei is Emasai Maschil HaAvelus. When does Avelus start? So the Gemara Ma'ariv Katan Daf Chaf Amud Aleph says that we learn the din of Shivas Yimei Avelus from V'Hafachti Chagrichem Le'Evel. That ma chag shiva af avelus shiva. That we, it's a funny limud that we learn avelus from chag. That just like chag is for 7 days, avelus is for 7 days, is for 7 days, and we learn shloshim from anitas and beis from para min nazir. That we learn it from a limud from nazir. That just like nazir shloshim yom, stan nazir shloshim yom, which we learn from a gematria of yihiyah. So afkan shloshim. So avelus we also have shloshim. But the Torah writes, even though they're both derived from psukim, they're asmachtos bialma, because even avelus yom rishon is not daoraisa, and even if you hold that it is daoraisa, only yom rishon is daoraisa. So the whole idea that we have a pasuk that's the basis for shiva and a pasuk that's the basis for shloshim, that's clearly all asmachta, because meikradin, it's not psukim, right? Meikradin, it's all midrabanan. Now the Brisa of Chavzayin Amidal tells us. Kofin amitos, according to Reb Elazar, when it's yotze mipesach beso, as soon as the mace leaves the house, they start doing the nihuge avelus. But according to Yehuda, kishe yisto magolel. And no, not as soon as the mace is taken out of the house do they start being noig avelus, only by stimas hagolel. Stimas hagolel, we assume, means something to do with the kvura. Right, is the stimas hagolel. Let's say when the kvura is over. So we pass in the view that that's when we start the Avelus. So here's Machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, Ksubas Daf Dalet Amud Beis. It's quoted in the Rush in Ma'ariv Katan, what exactly Stimas HaGolel is. So Rashi writes, it's the Kisui of the Oron of the Meis. Sounds like even Babayis, right? Meaning just when they finish the Tara, they put the Meis in the Oron, and they close the Oron. So it sounds like that's already the Stimas HaGolel, according to Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam says that it's the placement of a large stone that they put on the aron in the karka. So the Rush explains. I don't think he doesn't mean a matseva. He means when we're covering the body with a stone. The matseva comes much much later. No one holds it. You know, you're not going to have to wait for that. I was at a shiva visit last week, and Rav Meir Goldwick was there at the same time, and you know. He's amazing at shiva visits. Like he has all the right things to say, and he's mechazik them, and he says such like. So one of the things he said was that I think he said he heard from Shlomo Zalman. I think everything he said he heard from Shlomo Zalman, but he said one of the things he said was that the purpose of a matseva is because there's a halacha that when the nes happens to you, you have a chiv to be mevarech in the makom where the nes happened. So Shlomo Zalman said one of the purposes of the matzeva is so that after Tchias HaMeisim, the Meisim will know where they were, that they had Tchias HaMeisim. It will be hard for them to find their kever. So they'll see their own name. They'll say, oh, this is where I had Tchias HaMeisim from. So they'll know to say a bracha on the Tchias HaMeisim. So that's why you have to have a matzeva that like, identifies them. That's not the Pashup Shad. So the Rush says, based on our minhag, Rabbeinu Tam holds, that when you put the aron in the kever and you fill it with dirt, so that's when we begin. That's how we paskin, right? There's Yosef and Simeshin Ayin Hei, paskins like Rabbeinu Tam. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins here in Sif Aleph, like Rabbeinu Tam. Now the Bach raised a question on this, because we pass on Siv Dalid, when there's a siege around the city and they put the mace in an aron, in the bayis, the stimas ha'aron is like a kavura, and it's ma'isa, the Rabbi Kolonimus HaZakein, that they placed them in an aron in the Beis HaMikvah, and they counted Shiva and Shloshim, even though they were going to move him afterwards, which sounds a lot like Shitas Rashi, that it's the stimas ha'aron and not the placement in the ground. So he tries to be miyashiv this. He says, really, the Iker is like Rashi, but lechadchila were machmir to count from the time of the conclusion of the burial, because according to Rashi, it could be bali de tol, so you're going to have to be medactic with the aron, exactly when it's closed and when it's not closed. That's harder for people to track, much easier for people to track, when the Levaya was. But that's not the Pashup Shah. Pashup Shah is what the Shach writes. Shach writes in Sifkat Nei. Even Rabbeinu Tam is moda that if you can't do a kvura, so then you're moda mistima sa'aron, because that's the same as nisya'ish milakovron. That would be the same din as if you have yeush and you're not able to be cover the body, right? Meaning if, let's say, we had these shailas during COVID, when there's so many people were dying. The Chevra Kedisha was, in certain places, was like a week behind in getting to Kavura. So is that a din of Nisya'i Shmi L'Kovro? If you don't know when you'll have access to the body, to be Kovra the body. So then you could be Noah Gavelis right away. So that's what it means. Not that we pass him like Rashi, we pass him like Rabbeinu Tam. So that's the Machlokes Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. Now, there is a chiluk between the Beis HaKvaros, the Gemara makes, between the Beis HaKvaros that's Karov and the Beis HaKvaros that's Rachel. The Gemara by Katan Daf Chav Beis tells us, Amar Rabbi L'bnei Machuza, Atun Deloaz Linun Basar Arsa, Michi Madrisu Apaychu Mibam Da'avula, Ischilu Manu. That Rashi writes that since they're not going together with the mace, as soon as they turn away, then it's like Nistam HaGolol for them. So that happens all the time. Right, they're sending a mace to Eretz Israel, and not everybody's going with the mace to Eretz Israel. So, for the people who are still in America, as soon as they turn away from the at the airport hangar in JFK where they do those levayas, which, by the way, they should do something about that. They should build like a nice something somewhere on JFK land, to do a proper levaya. It's usually a bunch of workers yelling at each other in the background and trucks driving by and whatever. Okay, so as soon as they leave that area, it's considered stimas agola. The tour and the Beis Yosef quote machlokas bahag and Ramban, that according to the bahag, even when they bury them in the Beis HaKvaros should be Iro, the din is that way. And that if you're not going all the way to the Beis HaKvaros, even though it's in that same city, you start being no gavelus when you machzir panim. But the Ramban writes misfaras atzmo that it's dafka when they're molik the mace to a makom rachok. That's when turning around is considered to be like misyayish from the and you begin the gavelus right away. But if it's the makom karov, ein noagim alav gavelus atchiyachzur akrovim v'yomru lem shekvar nikbar sharei daitim alav kumunach lefneihem. That's how the Ramban writes. Dagmar Baba talks about what if it's Erev Yantif and you give it to Gayim and therefore you're not going to be involved in the Kavura. Okay, that's also probably like you would be able to start before the Kavura, before you know for sure that the Kavura happens. Where the Shailas really come up is when it comes to the Dinim of Gadol Abayis. Meaning sometimes one member of the family is labeled as a Gadol Abayis. So that could change the math for everybody in terms of the dinim of Avelus. So Bez Hashem, maybe tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about that. When does Avelus begin and end if there's a Gadol Abayis? If someone joins in progress, someone joins the Avelus while already on the third day of Shiva for everybody else, and how all of that plays out. Okay.